All right, so today we're in The Good and Trustworthy Servant, part two. So this is a teaching that we're redoing. I mean, it's been a lot of years since I did it the first time. But I'm very excited about doing it. I'm also excited from the point of view, and for some of you that have just found me, you wonder, like, why does he teach so many parts and everything? Because you're going to get something from me you don't get anywhere else, generally, right? If I read you a verse, I may need to read you 30 verses in the same chapter or the same, you know, the same part of one of Paul's writings or one of the Gospels. I might have to read you a bunch so you understand why that verse is there and what it's trying to say. And Abba has released me over the years to take as much time as is necessary. And so hopefully you guys can appreciate that. So, you know, when I first did this teaching, it was three parts. It was dealing with good, trustworthy, servant. That's it, okay? We're going to spend a bunch of parts just in good. And it will be good, I promise, all right? So we launched into this from Matthew 25, which is where you get the parable, where in the parable in verse 21 and 23 says, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You are trustworthy over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of our master, of your master." So this is our goal in life, isn't it? This life's goal is to hear those words. Okay, so I believed when I first did this and still believe that we should probably then understand what good means, what trustworthy means, and servant means, since we're supposed to hear words saying that we are a good and trustworthy. So we have to be good, whatever that is. We have to be trustworthy, whatever that is, and a servant, whatever that is. Can we agree? All right. So I'm not going to go rehash the other parts. We're going to launch right in Matthew chapter 7 and continue where we were headed from part 1. Okay? Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read verse 17. All right, through about 20 here. So every good tree, and remember, we're dealing with helping to define what good is. All right? Every good tree yields good fruit, but a rotten tree yields wicked fruit. A good tree is unable to yield wicked fruit, and a rotten tree is to yield good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then by their fruits you shall know them. What in the world is he talking about? Well, let's go to the verse 1 and read most of this chapter so that we have the context to know what he's talking about. So he's saying, I mean, we can understand the basics of it. You know, if you are good, you produce good. If you are wicked, you produce wicked. Wicked's not going to produce good. Good's not going to produce wicked. And we're going to know by the fruit. What is the fruit? It's the outward manifestation of what's inside. It's kind of the out of the abundance of the heart. Not just the mouth speaks, but we do whatever we do. It comes out of what's going on in the heart manifests itself in an action of some sort. We do things because of what's going on inside. So if the inside is good, whatever that is, it will manifest good fruit or good actions, good outward expression. If the inside is wicked or rotten or whatever word we use there, then the outward expression will be the same, will be outwardly rotten or wicked, etc. Okay, now, let's start, because he says, as we went through those verses, let me just get back to, I think, verse, turning too many pages here. There we go. So he says, every tree that does not bear, this is verse 19. Then he goes into verse 20, he goes, so then by their fruits you shall know them. Who's the them? Well, he did talk about a group earlier. So let's start in verse 1, okay, of chapter 7. Do not judge lest you be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with the same measure you use, it shall be measured to you. And why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not notice the plank in your own eye? Or how is it that you say to your brother, let me remove the splinter out of your eye and see a plank is in your own? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to remove the splinter out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is set apart to dogs, nor throw your pearls before the pigs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. So what's going on already here? We're seeing some behaviors, right? And then later, and he's going to talk about where the behaviors came from. Because the behavior is the fruit. So he's going to address, after telling you, there are people that are judging that shouldn't do that because you're going to be judged if you're judging. He's going to tell you that before you worry about the splinter in your brother's eye, well, that's coming from a problem inside of you, that you're looking at him and not yourself. See? This leads into when he goes to the metaphor of the tree and the fruit. Then he goes, what about giving, you know, throwing your pearls before pigs? So he's saying is, I'm going to give you stuff. I'm going to teach you. Other teachers are going to, there's going to be stuff that's offered to you, but why would we offer to you if you're going to be these ones who are judging and you're looking at the twig in other people's eyes and you're a wicked tree and you're going to bear wicked fruit? He says, but you ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find it. Seek what? Ask for what? The good stuff. We're getting into that, right? He's leading in because he doesn't tell you what you're going to ask for. He says, ask, seek, knock. Everyone who asks receives, seeks finds, and him knocks is open. By the way, this works for good and evil. Whatever you're looking for, if you look hard enough, you're going to find it. Okay? So he's still trying to show you this, you know, dichotomy, this split. It could be wicked, it could be good. Then he says, or is there a man among you, if his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone, or asks for a fish, he'll give him a snake. So if you then, okay, so he's saying when you're asking, you now know we're talking about asking the Father. Because he's saying if you ask the Father for something good, why would your Father give you something that's bad? Okay? You're asking for, he says, if you ask for a fish, why would he give you a snake? If you're asking for bread, would he give you a piece of rock? He's going to give you what you need. But of course, you're asking for something that's proper. You're asking for something that you should have. Now, of course, if you're asking for a stone, or if you're asking for a snake, you still may get those things. It's not necessarily from the Father, okay? Well, maybe not the Father in the heavens, but the Father of lies, maybe, or somebody. You're going to get what you want if you seek it. But are you asking correctly? That's another spiritual concept in Scripture, is you ask properly or you can ask, you know, poorly. Now, he says, if you then being wicked, see, now look, all of you out there that have a problem with me and my delivery style, this is Messiah. He just called the entire audience wicked. And you have a problem with me. Messiah just said, if you then being wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in the heavens give what is good? Ah, now we're seeing. This is all about what is good to those who ask him. So this whole thing about do not judge and about the plank and the twig, so this is all about the difference between what's good and what's not good. He says, your Father would give you what's good. He says, because you're wicked, you give good things to your children. Well, what do you think the Father's going to give you? Therefore, whatever you wish men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the Torah and the prophets. Right? Do unto others. Now, verse 13, enter in through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter in through it. So he's saying, be careful. This is a very narrow path to stay on. In other words, there's danger to your left, danger to your right. You got to really stay on that narrow path. The wide path is full of all kinds of destruction and stupidity and danger. All right? Now, verse 14 says, because the gate is narrow and the way is hard-pressed, which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The gate is narrow and the way is hard-pressed. Is this the same in all the Christian Bibles too, who like just believe in Messiah and life is wonderful now? Messiah said it's hard-pressed. Okay? And he said the way is hard-pressed, it leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are few who find it. Oh, no, all you got to do is, no. Knowing informationally is only the first barely minimum step. But then you have to take that information. It'd be like if I gave you a treasure map. You have the information, but are you able to decipher it and understand it? And can you go and follow it and get to wherever the treasure is? I mean, if you ever watch any movie with a treasure map, it's not so easy. And it's designed that way on purpose. Well, this is life. Life is designed to be tough on purpose, to see how hard you're going to push through that crushing, pressing life to get to the gate. So it's not that few find it because it's so hard to find. Few find it because they have to change. They themselves have to change and grow and become him to find the gate. That's the hard part. The growth and change. Change is painful. Change isn't fun. It's uncomfortable. So now, look at how he goes. This is leading now into the tree. He shifts now to, now we're going to know who the people he's talking about. When he says, them. Right? When he talks about them. He says, but beware of false teachers, prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're savage wolves. Okay, so now all of this was talking about you, and now it's talking about the influencers that may be causing you the problem. Why are you judging? Why are you looking at the twig? Why are you doing all these different things? Well, because there are those influencing you to convince you that that way is correct. Either actively influencing you or passively, meaning they're your parents, they're your best friends, they're your coworkers. You're being influenced just by association and by how you see them. You're impressed with them, you think they have authority, you think that they're right, whatever, you're going to start to imitate them. So he says, beware the false teachers who come in sheep's clothing. He says, by their fruits you shall know them. Ah, so it's identifying these false teachers, these false prophets. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Now he goes into the good tree. So now we're talking about teachers and prophets. Because what do we generally do with fruit? Eat it, that's right, okay? So now we're really shifting the gear so we understand when I started in verse 17, this is really talking about bad behaviors that can come from bad teaching, how you know where the bad teachers are. Ooh, there's a little bit different thing. So now he's saying by their fruits, you'll know them. And he gave some of the examples. Okay, now, he says, so every good tree yields good fruit, a rotten tree, wicked fruit. A good tree unable to yield wicked, and the wicked unable to yield good. He says, every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. By the way, didn't John say this in John 15? He says, every branch in me that doesn't stay in me, and the pruning that happens and gets thrown in the fire. Now, so there's some parallels John's talking about. Well, actually, Yeshua talking in John 15, all right? Now, he says, verse 20, then he says, so then by their fruits, who's the there? The prophets, the teachers, you shall know them. Oh. Now, look at verse 21 from a little bit different eyes. Not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, shall enter into the reign of the heavens, but he who is doing the desire of my Father in the heavens. This is first and foremost talking about the teachers. Bet you didn't see that before. Because look at the flow, where he went and how he got to this verse. He says, not everyone who claims I'm their master and they're teaching and speaking on my behalf. He says, not all of them are going to enter into the kingdom. It's the ones who are doing my desire. Individually and the teachers. So it covers both groups. See, you guys think I'm way too hard on other teachers out there. I don't think I'm hard enough. He's really hard on them right here. He says, just because they say, you know, master, master. And look, you could turn on YouTube right now. You guys watching, go to another channel. There's lots of services happening right now where you watch them tomorrow, the next day. Just watch the ones from that were from today. And you're going to hear all kinds of nonsense. But they'll present it like it's not nonsense, though. They're going to present it like the gospel truth, so to speak. But you got to be careful. You got to look for the good fruit. That's why I gave you something simple. Here's one simple thing. Look for the tzitzit, okay? I'm trying to reach down and grab mine so you can see them, okay? Look for the tzitzit, okay? They should be able to be seen. If they're behind a podium, they should at least move so you can see the tzitzit at some point. Oh, but maybe they're wearing them inside. That's dumb. No, I'm not saying never wear them inside. I'm saying if you're the teacher and you need everybody to know that you're wearing them, wouldn't you want to wear them outside so you don't have to answer the question, are you wearing them? Or cause a question in the person, are you wearing them? It's not that you can't wear them underneath, but I'd want people to know that I'm obedient so you can see them. So he says, many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied? See, he's still talking about the teachers. Have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then I shall declare to them, I never knew you. We did not have an intimate relationship. Knowing is a relational thing. Depart from me, you who work Torahlessness, lawlessness. So let's understand. This idea of good is now being connected to the Torah. Because those he's saying are wicked, who are not bearing good fruit, they're rotten trees, are doing Torahlessness. So when you get to hear the words good and trustworthy servant, that good has to do with your bearing fruit that comes from the only one that is good. Because Yeshua says there's none good but one, our Father in the heavens. So only those things of him are good. And when you do those things and bear that kind of fruit, then you are also being good. Now, he says, just so we're clear, I'm sure these are the most flabbergasted, surprised, whatever word you want to use, people on the planet, when they went up to him like, wait, we've been serving you our whole lives. I've been in ministry four generations. Everybody in my family's in ministry. We're all pastors. And he said, okay, but I don't know you. I don't have the relationship with you that you think that I have with you. Okay? I haven't said this in a long time, but you know, I like to have those little couple of word catchphrases. Okay? Whether or not you have a relationship with him or not is whether or not he thinks you do, not whether or not you think you do. Okay? That's some strong, scary stuff right there. Okay? He's the one that decides that you have a relationship with him or not, not you. Because you all thought you did in church. You all thought you had relationships with him that you didn't. And so all of those people in church today still think they have relationships with him. They all think that, and their pastors do, and everybody else does. And they're all doing what? They're all casting out demons and doing all these mighty works. Don't the churches claim all that stuff? And he looks at them and says, nope, you guys you're on Sunday, you're eating pork, you're doing pagan holidays, you're doing lawlessness. Depart from me. What does a Sunday pastor do when they read that verse? I don't know what they do when they read that verse. What do they think it's referring to? Okay, breaking what law? I mean, what is it referring to? Oh, he was only meaning all of that until he died. Then it was pointless, you know. Then Yeshua just, why would you, did you actually think for a second Yeshua wasted one word? No. So that doesn't make any sense. All right? So we could just go to, and this is why I like doing it this way, not the way maybe others did it and still do it, where they'll just take a little section about the tree. But what is the tree really talking about? So first and foremost, it's talking about a behavior. But then the really major point on top of that is how you got the behavior from the false teachers and prophets. So it's a condemnation on them. It's a judgment on them. So all of you should be a little bit more careful about who you listen to. Okay? You know, we had a kind of humorous moment, and I'm sure the man won't mind that I pick on him a little bit, you know, in the Zone 3 meeting last night, okay, where the gentleman said, I know you say that, you know, we should be careful listening to other teachers. Well, I was intellectually stimulating my curiosity. I wanted to intellectually stimulate my curiosity. And he went and listened to some other teacher, and guess what? He got confused. Shocking, since I told him he would, right? I told you all you're going to get confused. Or if you're not confused, you're going to make a wrong choice and make a switch from where you were walking to walking a different way. I'm not saying you can't listen to other people. Just don't be surprised if you end up in kinds of whatever kind of ditch you're going to end up in. You need to be vetting your teachers a whole lot better. Now, vetting your teachers doesn't mean go do a background check and find out, you know, what school they went to and when they were five and, you know, where they grew up in what city or whatever. No, it means listen to what they're teaching, and is it teaching good, proper things that might influence you? Okay? Because it's not about their life story. It's about, because remember, you take Paul's life story, he doesn't qualify, right? Because we can say, oh, well, he was killing all the first century believers and stuff. Well, but he then started bearing good fruit. He always bore good fruit as a Jew, and then he started bearing good fruit as a messianic believing Jew. Okay? So vet your teachers. So the first thing you want to do in vetting your teachers, go listen to the teachings and make sure they match up and say the right thing, etc. And ask the Father to give you discernment, looking for anointing, not just charisma. Okay? Or a lot of polish. Maybe some, because there are some guys out there that speak very well. All right? I talk good too. All right? But they have information that needs to be right. That's what's most important. The delivery doesn't matter. None of that. The only thing that matters is the information going to help you properly understand what good is so you can become the good and trustworthy servant, so you can become like him. That's all that really matters, isn't it? So this section is talking about that. Look, he says, therefore, verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Okay, so we're only going to look for the red-lettered words in the New Testament? Or are we going to recognize that Yeshua gave all of it? He's the voice. He's the word. Okay? So we're not just looking for red-lettered words in the New Testament. You know, we have New Testament verses that says he is the one who gave the Sinai covenant. So when he says, therefore, everyone who hears my words and does them shall be like a man who built his house on the rock, and the rain came down and the floods came down and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. And I have a whole teaching called Yeshua the Rock. Go listen to it. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Do you understand? When you are listening and studying any teacher's stuff, you're building a house of some sort. The question is that a house you want to actually live in? Is it safe? Is it structured right? Is it according to the architect, the chief architect's design? Because you don't build your house properly, great will be its fall. Now, it came to be that when Yeshua had ended these words, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one possessing authority and not as the scribes. So this is what, for those of you that just don't understand, this is what seeing and actually experiencing an anointed teacher looks like. It feels like they recognized something's different. He's got a whole different level of authority than these other guys that we listen to all the time. And not just because he was Yeshua. You would have felt the same way listening to James or John or Peter. You would have felt the same way listening to Isaiah or Ezekiel, same way listening to Moses. An anointed person has a different level of authority. Okay? So this isn't just saying, well, obviously he's Messiah, he's going to sound different. But they just said and recognized that he's speaking with a different authority. Those that are anointed are speaking with the above authority. Because what they're saying is from the above and lines up with the above and expresses the above correctly. And so there's a power in that that should resonate when you hear it and go, oh my goodness, that's what it really is now. I now finally see. Some of you have had that moment. Whoa, now I finally get it. Now I could have just read you those four verses, you know, 17 to 20. I could have just read those to you. You wouldn't have understood. The context here is that when he's starting to talk about good, the good is the Torah, living it in your life, making it a part of you. And then if you're a tree that is Torah-founded, you're going to bear good fruit from that tree. Also, if you're going to eat of the fruit of a rotten tree, then you're going to get rotten fruit. If you can eat of the fruit of a good tree, you're going to get good fruit. So this goes back again to the teachers, the prophets, the ones who are, now the reason you use the word prophet, because what is prophet definition, what's the definition scripturally? One speaking the word of the Father, of Yah, with authority. So it's a higher level teacher than just a teacher teaching you. No, that doesn't mean the teacher teaching you Torah is not an important level of thing, because you have to know, hey, Saturday's the Sabbath, and it's from sundown to sundown, and this is what's kosher and not kosher to eat, and this is, you know, how we do this and how we do that, right? That's what teachers do. But the prophets are speaking the word with authority. They're not some guy who's just a big traveling guy who wants to go speak in a tent or telling you about your future. Okay, go to someone who reads tea leaves for that, if that's what you want to do. Prophets are here to tell you about your present. Wake up, do this, or your future is going to not be good. Okay? That's what they're telling you. Cry aloud, spare not, do this now, or it's not going to go well for you later. Because everybody wants to think prophecy. Oh, I want to talk about prophecy. No, you want to talk about end times and what you think is coming in the future. You are never going to experience that correctly if you don't figure out the now properly. That's why all my teachings up to this point, he may change that at some point, have been about things you can take right now and do in becoming the good and trustworthy servant. Okay, 600 plus teachings have that one purpose, helping you become a good and trustworthy servant. Amen? All right. Now let's go to chapter 13. We'll stay in Matthew. Okay? So for a lot of you, hopefully that makes that whole parable of the tree thing and everything else, it's all about you doing things, but because you were influenced. And so you need to be looking at your influencers. Okay? That's a big popular term, you know, in modern days is, you know, people want to be influencers. You know, I'm a YouTube influencer. I'm a thought influencer. I'm an industry influencer. Well, I would be worried about who's influencing you. Okay? Because you are being influenced one way or the other. You just might not be aware of it, okay? Now, Matthew 13, okay, there's a parable of the sower. Guess what we're going to talk about here? Good ground and good seed. So we should understand now we're using the word good, what that has to do. It has to do with the Father, the Torah, all these things, right? So we're going to begin here in verse 1. We're going to read pretty much the whole chapter here. I don't know how much time we're going to get all this done, okay? So, on that day, Yeshua went out of the house and sat by the sea, and large crowds were gathered together to him so that he went into a boat and sat down, and all the crowds stood on the beach. So first, I like to read from that verse to let you know context, right? Context is who's speaking, who's the audience. Well, okay, Yeshua's speaking, and it's a large crowd. He's not just talking to his disciples, but it's a large crowd, right? So not always are we told, you know, right in the chapter where I'm working, you know, what that whole parameters are, but here we're told. A large group came together. He actually got out in a boat so he could talk to them. So they were all filled up a whole beach. He needed more room for them. And so this is for everyone, in other words. He's talking to a large crowd. And he spoke to them much in parables. And some of you are thinking, why wouldn't he just tell them straight? Well, he's going to explain that in here. But he speaks in parables because until he reveals, he doesn't want you to know and understand. Okay? So he knew whatever he said was going to be sent through the ages, but he wanted it to be explained by teachers so that you would understand. Now, he spoke to them in parables, saying, see, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some indeed fell by the wayside. So, by the way, so we picture a man with or a woman, whatever, with a bag of seed. And they're going to scatter the seed. But while he's doing this, some is falling by the wayside. I mean, if you ever did any of this, you know the seed gets everywhere. It doesn't all go where you want it to go. You have a mess, all right? Some falls by the wayside, the birds came and devoured them. Others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil, okay? But when the sun was up and they were scorched because they had no root, they withered. All right, so you got the first bunch by the wayside, there's no really dirt there at all, and the birds just come and eat it up. Then the second one's got some rocky ground, not real good, but yet the plants spring up pretty quickly, but there are no real good roots there because the rocky ground doesn't allow for that. And so it doesn't take much for the sun to dry them up and they wither. Others fell on thorny ground among thorns, and their thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What is he saying, by the way, with this ears to hear stuff? He's saying, those who have bubbles popped, pay attention. Because ears to hear simply means he's given them that. He said, those of you who have opened your ears, pay attention. Okay? I'm going to tell you now, that's my opinion what that phrase is referring to in the big context or the bigger context of all that I've taught you over the last, 12 years or whatever. Okay? So it's about he gave them the ears to hear. But listen to the Father and the Son teaching. I explained that pretty thoroughly in the beginning of that teaching, right? Giving you eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive. Okay? I mean, I've been teaching this really for almost 20 plus years, 25 years. So this is all about understanding this idea that he has to touch you and open. He's got to reveal. I call it bubble popping, right? We live in this delusional world bubble, and all of a sudden he puts his little finger and touches it and pops a hole in it, and all of a sudden you realize, ooh, there's more to the world than I thought there was. Okay, I thought I was in reality, and I'm not in reality. I'm in a filtered weirdness of reality, but I'm not really in reality. All right? So he says, those with ears to hear, let them hear. And the taught ones came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? That's so funny because they didn't understand it either. Why do you speak to them in parables? Acting like somehow like they understood, which they didn't. And they're going to ask him to explain because they really didn't get it. And he answered, saying to them, because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the reign of the heavens, but to them it's not been given. So I want you to understand the bigger picture of this. So it's not that to them it's not been given, but to them it's not been given yet. To you it's been given now. Let's get the timing of this. Because before they met him, it wasn't for them to be given either. He called them and opened their eyes and their ears and selected them and made them disciples. Okay? So it's not that they're, because the church might say, see, the Jews, he said, it's not for them. But the disciples were all Jewish too, so your theory doesn't work very well. Okay. He says, because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the reign of the heavens. So bear in mind, this is important. This is all about, remember context, we didn't know it was about teachers when we were looking at the trees. This is about the secrets, okay, of the kingdom of heaven. So the soil is connected to the secrets of the kingdom. He's telling you this is connected. He speaks in parables because the things that are in parables are parts of the secret information that gets revealed as he chooses about the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Context. Now, he says, to them it has not yet been given. For whoever possesses, to him more shall be given. And he shall be overflowing. He'll have overflowingly. But whoever does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away from him. So when he's talking about possesses, I'm going to put my thought here. Whoever possesses what I give them, so that means they took ownership and they took it and they owned it. I can offer you something and you can refuse it. I can offer you something, you can take it and put it on a table and walk away from it. He offers and you take it and receive it. He says, those who take it and receive, remember I talked about revelation many times, information revealed to you, you have to receive and then do something with, or it's just information. So he's saying, whoever possesses the revelation I'm giving and receives it and does something with it, to him more shall be given. Does that make that verse make a little more sense? But whoever does not possess what I reveal to them, even what he did possess, in other words, they're going to receive some of it. They're going to possess some of it. That will be taken away from them. You got to receive it all. You don't get to pick and choose. This is probably one of the biggest problems in the body. I mean, I was going to say Hebrew roots, Messianic, it doesn't matter. Those who claim Messiah and claim Torah to some degree are picking and choosing most of the time. They're picking and choosing how they want to see him, and they're picking and choosing how they're going to obey or not, or what they're going to obey or not. And you know what? They're going to have what they have taken away, because they have. So let me paint this picture for you. He reveals to people he bubble pops, right? None comes unless the Father draws, and he says, nobody knows the Father unless the Son reveals the Father, right? That's all in the first couple of parts of the Father and the Son teaching. Do you know the Father and the Son? Now, so once their eyes are open, once your eyes are opened, he then gives you. Well, first, you start asking, seeking, and knocking. We talked about that in chapter 7, right? And then he gives, right? Because remember, this is 13, which comes six chapters after 7. So this is kind of flowing forward. So he then gives you, and then you have to decide what to do with it. I'm not talking about everybody on the planet has heard things and so they... No, if he hasn't opened their minds, their hearts, to receive, so they could actually know that it's from him correctly, but then what do they do with it? You know? Okay? Don't you know people that know something they should be doing that would fix their life or fix something in their life and they're not doing it? Do you know that person intimately, like look at them in the mirror in the morning? Okay? All right? That's a Tony Robbins line. But anyway, okay? From his program called Personal Power that I heard like 40 years ago. So look, all right? You're guilty of this stuff at times. Be careful with it because he's saying he might take away what he's given you. Pretty serious stuff, okay? Whoever possesses what I've revealed to them, they have to take the action. That's what the parable of the dirt is all about. That's why this is in here. If you ever wonder why, what is this doing here? We're just talking about sowing and dirt, and all of a sudden it's talking about something else. Because really, if you look at it, you throw the seed out there. Ooh, that's like revealed information being thrown out there. And the ground is either possessing it or it's not. And then yielding fruit with it or not. Okay? And so you could have just looked at it and said, oh, well, really, it's all about what kind of dirt you are. Well, yes, that's a very big part of this. But he wants you to know it's about the seed that's being thrown out there. It's him revealing. All of you want revelation? You're getting tons of it. You just think that it's not what you think it is. Information about the secrets of the kingdom, that's the revelation you're getting. Not information about end times. End times are going to happen, play out exactly like you said, no matter how much you figure it out or not. However, if you don't figure this stuff out, you're going to be in trouble. Okay? But let me say that really strongly and clearly. Not figuring out end times will hurt you zero. Not figuring out present times, your life and becoming him will cost you everything. Okay? So where do you want to put all your effort? Trying to figure out the end times? And I know so many teachers out there, that's what all they want to talk about. Especially now that there's little things happening in the Middle East. Oh, that's all they want to talk about. This is going to play out exactly like he said it would. And you don't have to understand that at all. As a matter of fact, he wrote that as parables and images and all kinds of stuff that you weren't supposed to understand anyway. He just wants you to know it's going to happen. And when it happens, you'll recognize, oh, look, it happened. But you're going to be in the right place and hear the right words you want to hear only if you're focused on what he's giving you to possess. The revelation of how to become like him. The revelation of how to transform into the image. What his expectations are of you. That's where it really hits the road, right? Okay, so again, whoever possesses his revelation and does something with it, more shall be given. More revelation, so you keep growing. Some of you hit a wall because you're not doing anything with what I already gave you. And he shall have overflowingly. But whoever doesn't possess, even what he possesses will be taken away. Hey, I revealed a bunch of stuff to you. So any of you know some people that started down this path and ended up leaving the path because they just didn't put the effort in, and so it was taken away. I was, once upon a time, in Worldwide Church of God, back in the late 80s, okay? It's a long time ago. And right around 1994 or so, the church went into back to mainstream. They went back to, they went from Sabbath keeping and Torah keeping into Sunday keeping, Christmas, Easter, the whole nine yards. Now, that wasn't my point, but they were influencers. All my friends, or the vast majority of them, when the church kind of fell apart, a lot of them just went to their local church and became Sunday keeping, Christmas and Easter, whatever. And I looked at them like, you know better. Because they asked me, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to go do this? I was like, why would I do that? I already know that's wrong. Just because the group is all confused and the main organization's going off in whatever direction, why would I go do that that I already know is wrong? I couldn't believe it. And now this is the verse, though, now I understand. What they possessed was taken away. What they possessed. They understood, but it was taken away. Because they weren't using it. Okay, it has to bear fruit. Revelation is information revealed to you that you have to then receive or possess and then use properly. You have to put into action. Look, these are things he just gives me, and then you see they come up every week, because it's so important that you get this. Simple things like observe, right? Learn, adjust, three words. Revelation is just information unless you receive it and do something with it. Otherwise, it's going to be taken away from you. All of you started with either, for the vast majority, either Christmas being wrong or Sunday wrong. Somehow the Sabbath or the holy days was the first thing you learned. Is that true for most of you? Right? But if you did nothing with that, guess what? It would have been taken away from you at some point. You had to do something with that. Okay? Now, he goes, verse 13, because of this I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand, right? Because unless I reveal it to them. Now, in them the prophecy of Yeshayahu, Isaiah, is completely filled, which says, hearing you shall hear and by no means understand, and seeing you shall see and by no means perceive. And that actually is in Isaiah. For the heart of this people has become thickened, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn back, and I heal them. Now, you might read that and go, well, why wouldn't they just do that? You aren't really listening to the first part if you think that. They had become hard of hearing. They did that themselves. They hardened their hearing, okay? It says, their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. So they said, I'm not looking that way. I'm going to focus this way. I'm going to take my eyes off of Yeshua. I'm going to take my eyes off of, well, back in those days, take my eyes off of Yahweh, take my eyes off of Torah. I'm going to focus on me and what I want to do. And so he says, so I'm going to talk to them in parables, because the ones who I reveal, they'll understand. Because they're possessing. And so I'll give them more, and then they'll understand more. Look, a lot of you have had this experience, okay? And again, some people out there think I'm being whatever. Look, the teachings that he gives me to give you, the first ones you heard, you only understood a little bit of. Now, you didn't think that at the time, maybe. Some of you struggled with them. But now if you go back, or many of you have gone back to some of those early teachings, the ones that were early for you, the ones you first listened to, and now you're like, oh, because now he's giving you more. Because you possessed what you got first, and now he's able to reveal more. The teaching didn't change. Same words, same amount of information, but your ears were a little thick. Your heart was thick. Your ears are hard. And so you were not workable. You could think of it like clay, okay? If the clay's all dry and brittle, and you're hard, and he can't do anything with you. All right? He's got to get you softened up. So he's saying, Isaiah understood these things. He said, because he says, lest they should understand with their heart and turn back. It's like, well, why wouldn't he want them to turn back? He says, because once they made the choice down that path, things had to play out so that lessons would be learned properly before they turned back. When he sent them into dispersion, he didn't say, I'm going to disperse you for a week and then you're in time out and you're going to get to come back. I mean, we've been in dispersion now for over 2,000 years, okay? So, but all the things he said would play out have to still play out. He says, and blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear.
Ah.
He says, for truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous ones longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now stop right there. I know the default is Yeshua. In other words, they got to see Yeshua. And the prophets never got to see Yeshua though. He's not just talking about himself here. He's saying, you're getting to hear and see and understand what I'm talking about. The prophets have wanted to understand things. You know, the prophets were spoken, by the way, parables were not a new thing here. Yeshua, speaking of parables, all of the Old Testament is filled with parables. And how many times you see a prophet going, what does that mean? And it's, oh, I'm sorry, it's sealed, Daniel. Oh, I'm sorry, that's, yeah, we'll explain that. It's not for you. Okay? But now, he says, I'm opening up your eyes and understanding to all of this stuff. Prophets had always wished they could have some of this that you have. Yeah, they had some stuff you don't have, but now look what you're getting. Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous ones longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You then hear the parable of the sower. So now he's going to explain it to them. Because even though they didn't ask him to explain it, he realized their little, well, why do you speak to them? And you know, he's like, yeah, okay, but you guys didn't get it either, did you? You know, well, how come you spoke to them that way? I don't know. You want to explain to me what you thought I said? Let me explain it to you myself. All right. He says, you hear the parable. When anyone hears the word of the rain, so now we're getting the secret stuff. So now we're talking about the seed is revealed information from the kingdom. Okay? Revealed information from the kingdom. Okay. And does not understand it. That happens a lot. You hear a lot of revealed information that you don't understand when you first hear it. He says, you got to be careful. This could happen to that information. The wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown by the wayside. So if your ground is wayside, you're at high risk of having it just taken away because you didn't understand and your ground was no good. Now, not understanding still goes for all of the grounds. You can receive information you don't understand, but if your ground is good, it can still soak and sit and get some roots in there while you're trying to understand it. So here, you didn't understand at all. Like, you didn't even get excited about it or anything. He's like, well, I don't understand it. And it went by the rocky side, by the wayside, and it was just taken away. Now, that's sown on rocky places. All right, this is the second choice here. Okay, is he who hears the word immediately and receives it with joy. Okay, now, let's first understand, that person got excited about it. Would it be a fair thing to say that a person that receives it with joy, with excitement, probably doesn't really understand what they're excited about? Would that be fair? Okay? I know I've never said that before teaching this. I don't think anybody I've ever heard anybody say that. I want you to understand that when they hear it with joy, because you want to focus on, yet there's no root in itself and all these other things. But the reason that's all happening is because they really didn't understand what they got excited about. Kind of like the church altar call nonsense, where they get everybody all excited to go do something they have no idea what they're doing. And how do you know that, Rabbi? Because I went at a Christian concert backstage before they did the altar call and heard the people who were about to do the altar call with the people who came backstage, who were supposed to be youth pastors and pastors and stuff, and said, we're about to do an altar call and the people who get up have no idea what they just did. I was like, then why are you doing it? I didn't say that. I wanted to. I wanted to scream. And some of you are thinking, well, why were you back there? Because I was sitting there with my wife watching this concert. This is before we stopped listening to Christian music. This is way back. And she said, where are you going? I said, I want to know what they're doing. So I got up and went. You guys who know me are not surprised. Okay? Okay. I just got up and went. And I was probably wearing seat seat and everything. Okay? But I got up and went down. I went back there because I wanted to know what they were doing. They said, hey, we want a bunch of the pastors, whatever, come back here. Okay, I got up and went. Abba inspired me to go so I could hear those words. They know that they're doing something that has absolutely no substance to it. The people doing it have no idea what they're doing. It's an emotional response manipulated by the people with the music getting them up there and the words of whoever's trying to get. That's all it is, manipulation, emotional manipulation. Don't tell me it's the spirit, because if it's the spirit, why do I have to sit there for 20 minutes listening to a guy beg you to get up? I mean, I want to make the guy shut up. I'm like, everybody who wanted to get up is up already. Well, don't let the person next to you intimidate you. And don't let the, all the, I was like, you know what? If the Ruach is, that's a fire under me. If the Ruach is wanting me to do something, I'm flying out of my chair. Okay? You don't have to ask me more than once. Remember, you probably don't have to ask me at all. The Ruach is going to push me. I sit there begging people. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I literally, when they started to do it, almost stood up and started yelling at everybody to stop because I thought they were offering their kids the Molech. It was bad. It was wrong. And my wife is sitting next to me praying like crazy for me to not stand up and say anything. And I didn't. But I almost pulled like a lot of muscles not standing up. Because I wasn't as kind and gentle as I am now. And you don't think I'm kind and gentle. You should have seen me back then. Okay, ask Shamash Uncle Bob. Okay, I was likely to get up and make a scene. Then the police would have come and the whole thing would have been terrible. We'd have gotten thrown out, you know. So it was bad. All right. But you see, this is what I'm talking about, right? People had something that was going on and they don't know what they're doing. And the same thing can happen when you get information revealed to you and you don't understand it yet. Okay? So the type of dirt you have, the ground, is going to make a big difference. Okay, let's continue. So they hear the word and immediately receive it with joy. So they've, hopefully this is a person, I would guess, has been asking and seeking and knocking. And then they actually get an answer. They're excited about it. So they receive it with joy. Yet, it's so quick and so new and it's not really understood deeply. There's no real root in himself. There's no root there. But it's short-lived, and when pressure and persecution arises because of the word, immediately you stumble. So what does that look like? Well, how many of you have friends, or maybe this happened to you the first time you heard about any of this stuff, and then you disappeared and came back, because as soon as you got excited about it, what's the first thing you do when you're excited about something? You tell everybody. And if you, and when you first got excited about this, was the response from everybody else really good? No, they tried to blast you out and persecute you and pressure you like it says right here. So some of you did not have this bad ground because you had that, your ground was better than that because you didn't get taken out by this. You got friends and people you know that were taken out. I get new people that come on a regular basis. They'll find me, tell me, look, we used to have like the magic words, we called it, okay? Not really magic. We understand that with the magic words. So somebody would come to services. This is way back in Knoxville many years ago. Come to services. Happened a few times here also in Chattanooga. Where the person would come up to me after service and say, oh my gosh, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. And so the more they said, this is exactly perfect, whatever, we'd never see them again. It was like the magic words. Because they were this, okay? They were this. See, the person that's staying sat back going, okay, that looked like maybe this could be. And, you know, there's a different receiving, even though they're happy, but they're cautious, right? And so I got used to after seeing how that would play out. So somebody would come up to you and say, oh, did you talk to a new person? And said, yeah, they're not coming back. Really? Yeah, they said the magic words. Oh, my gosh, I'm crying. This is the best thing ever. You know, and then they go home and tell all their friends and their family members, and they all look at them like, are you crazy? That's a cult and this, and you're losing your salvation and blah, 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 blah. They get all that, and they disappear. Okay? And so it makes me nervous sometimes when people come up to me the first time and they're like overly excited about everything because I feel bad they're probably not coming back because they're going to take that. It's not because they're so excited. It's because what the excitement's going to do is lead them to talk to people that they're not ready to deal with. Okay? They're going to talk to people that are going to throw heavy hand grenades of fear, doubt, and attack at them about this choice. And they're going to basically fold under the pressure. They're going to cave because it's too overwhelming. They don't have the root deeply in there. So then we have that sown among the thorns. All right, that sown among thorns is he who hears the word, and the worry of this age and the deceit of riches choke the word, and it becomes fruitless. Okay, so you survived the barrage. Well, first of all, you had decent ground, so it didn't just get snatched away. All right. Then, by the way, even the wayside one could be the people standing around that really aren't bubble popped, but sort of heard this anyway, and they just didn't have anything to put that in. That's the wayside. All right. So you survive, you know, you're not the wayside. And then, of course, the rocky ground. Okay. So you handle that. And so now we got the thorns. And so the thorns is now going to be not about outside, it's going to be about inside. See, now it's not about your friends running his mouth, your mom's getting attacking you, your dad tells you you're doomed and you're going to hell and whatever, right? No, now it's about if I do this, then I don't get to have what I want over there. And I don't get to, I'm going to chase this other fleshly thing that I will have to give up to do this. So this is not about outside, it's about inside. So the surface, so we're digging, we're going in deeper. Outside, man, it's not even in you, it's not even near you. The wayside. As a matter of fact, you're not even sure the thing that was thrown as a seed is even for you. Then the next level, hey, you're looking for stuff, you're asking, seeking out, you got excited, but there's no roots, and you went and told somebody, and they blew you right out. This next level, well, you're not going to get blown out, but you're going to choose to leave. Why? Because I want wealth and riches and all these other things, or I'm worried. I got all this fear and worry about it. Well, you know, if I keep Torah, then all my friends are going to leave me. If I keep Torah, then I'm going to lose my job because I have to work Saturday. If I keep Torah, then... See what I'm saying? So now it's about you. Your lack of strength inside. Your ground's no good. All right, so all filled with thorns. And so then we get to the good soil. All right? And that sown on the good soil is he who hears the word and understands it. Revelation, information that's now understood, so you possess it, and indeed bears fruit. You're doing something with it. And by the way, the thorns are nearby trying to jump in. The naysayers of the rocks are all trying to get involved in there. You're like, no, I got good soil here. Okay? Which means to have good soil, if you're a farmer, if you ever worked with a garden, you have to do what? You got to till that soil. You got to make sure you're always keeping the weeds out of it. You got to keep the thorns out of it. You got to keep the rocks out of it, right? So he says, that person who heard the word and understood it and bears fruit yields some of them 100, some 60, some 30. Oh. So your ground, okay? I'm going to say it this way. Your ground started off full of rocks and thorns. But because you wanted it bad enough, you were able to clear that stuff out of the way. So you cleared some family members out of the way and some friends out of the way and said, I'm sorry, you don't get access to trying to get in my business. You walk out your own salvation. I'll worry about mine. Okay? And then you also got you out of the way. Now you have good ground. So you ever wondered for the definition of good ground? A lot of teachers teach. I have no idea what they're all teaching. I'm going to tell you, good ground is ground that you have moved the thorns out of the way and cleared out the rocks. Okay? So you worked on those outside not messing you up, and you worked on you not messing you up in trying to do this journey. Because then you can do what? You can bear good fruit. Okay? The fruit that then yields. This is really important that we're getting this. Okay? So now we're talking about good ground in this parable. Good ground. So the ground is good because it can receive that which is good. And it can produce that which is good. If you're not good ground, good seed, look, the parable of the tree works the same as the parable of the garden. A good tree yields good fruit. A rotten tree doesn't yield good fruit. It yields rotten fruit, right? So good ground yields good fruit. Bad ground doesn't yield good fruit. Good fruit cannot be produced in the bad ground. So that's why we're now looking at the ground as being good. So it's ground that's able to and is ready to and prepared to receive and produce. Are you good ground, ready to receive and produce? Some of you are thinking, of course I am. Think of that the next time you call for counseling, please. That's just a little public service announcement for us. Because you're going to call and come, and you're going to receive, but you're not going to bear fruit. You're not going to actually put it to... And that's the frustrating thing for us to watch, because then you end up getting nowhere, and then you come back and call us 15 more times with the same nonsense. And it's only nonsense because you could have fixed it if you'd done what we told you to do. And it's not just me saying this. Elders, every day when I call, I say, what's going on? He says, oh, yeah, well, you know, I had another four phone calls with people that I talked to last week, said the same, and they're not doing... People are not doing the guidance. Because the ground isn't right. All the excuses are thorns and rocks, okay? And by the way, your excuses are for you, okay? That's elders' line. But the thing is, they're not for you. They're the rocks and the thorns in your garden that you need to get out. They're yours, is what he's saying. Your excuses are yours, okay? To justify your decisions. But you take those things and get them out of the garden, then we have something we can actually get done. You can't get anything done because your garden is cluttered with thorns and rocks. We'll just call them your excuses, your reasons. These are I don't have excuses. They're reasons. No, they're excuses. Okay? For the most part. Now, another parable he put before them saying, the rain of the heavens has become like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Oh, so the man is sowing good seed. What is good seed? Revealed information from above. Right? But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed darnel among the wheat and went away. What is darnel? We're going to say that's seed that looks like the good seed, but it's false and it's not the right information. Okay? Wheat and darnel look, I looked this up, so I'm giving you from the guru named Google. Okay? So, all right. Wheat and darnel look essentially the same in their early growth stages. They can be distinguished only when they mature. Okay? So they look exactly the same to the naked eye in the beginning. All right? So this man is sowing the good, right? The revelation of information from the above, the good stuff. But then something is also being thrown in that looks just like the good stuff, but it's not. It's close. It's similar. Isn't that what you get in the churches every week on Sunday? By the way, you get this in all of the congregations on Saturday too. Now, you don't get all mad at me. You go and listen to them then, okay? And then you come back when you figure it out, all right? You guys all think I'm cocky as hell. I get that. I understand because you don't know what to do with me, okay? You don't know, is this false bravado? Is this cockiness? Or is this actually genuine, real speaking? What do you think that these guys sounded like? You know, what do you think Paul sounded like? Oh my gosh, you would have thought he was a raging egomaniac. The way he talked to the Galatians? He's like, what's wrong with you, you idiots? I taught you correctly. What are you doing? Okay. Look. So while the man slept, the enemy sowed the darnel among the wheat, and he went away. And when so now we're back to the teachers again. The proper teacher sowed proper information from above, right? Revealed information from above into the field. You're the field. We just did the ground, okay? And false teachers that you thought were right, Lord, Lord, we did all this stuff in your name, Master, Master. And you took that in there too. This is why I keep warning you, be careful who you listen to. Oh, but you just think, well, you just want everybody just to listen to you. You bet I want them just to listen to him. I just happen to be one of the only ones speaking his words, okay? Now, you can think that's arrogance beyond arrogance, and that's fine, okay? Ask Elder if he thinks I'm an arrogant person, okay? No, because he knows the humility and where this is coming from when I'm saying it, okay? I do not strut around thinking my stuff doesn't smell, okay? I don't have this. Do you understand? I talk like a real person to you guys. Okay? If you want somebody to talk proper or whatever, go watch somebody else. Look, okay? This is talking about consistently, like we saw in chapter 7 and now in chapter 13, the same, wait a minute, those are both bankruptcy things. Chapter 7 and chapter 13. You better worry about it. If you don't pay attention, you're going to be bankrupt. Be careful. Okay, I don't know how I pull those things and piece them together. It just happens, okay? All right. So, he says, and the servants of the master of the house came and said to the master, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did the darnel come from? And he said to them, a man, an enemy, did this. And the servant said to him, do you wish then that we go and gather them up? And he said, no, lest while you gather them up the darnel, you also uproot the wheat. So this is also talking to potential future congregation leaders to say, look, you may be sowing the good seed, but they're not just listening to you. So other seed is being sown amongst the people you're trying in your field that you're sowing in. But bear in mind, they all look the same. You guys don't have like giant D's on your head or something to make so you know you're a darnel or not. Okay? So we used to think people had losers on their head, right? We do that back in the day. Back to the 80s, you know, when we all did those dumb things. Okay, so that's an 80s thing. All right, so this is talking, I think, also to congregation leaders, future leaders, to say, look, you're doing what you can sowing good seed, but you're not the only one sowing. Others are sowing into that same field. Okay? And that's of the enemy. He says it. All right? Are you trying to say all those other teachers are the enemy? I'm not saying they're of the enemy, but they're certainly helping. If they're teaching things that are partial truths and misunderstandings of things from the accuracy of what it's supposed to be, they are helping the enemy. Which is why I've said to so many people out there, until you're properly trained, please shut up. I don't mean to be any more... I'm not going to beat around that bush. I'm going to say, please stop talking in public, on a microphone, on YouTube, and everywhere else. Go sit down quietly and get trained. Okay, because you are not helping. You're creating more problems than, oh, no, I'm just trying to reach people. About what? The little bit you're like the guy in the beginning, got all excited. So the other side of the excited is the one person gets excited and gets blown out. The other person gets excited and blows others out. Because in his excitement, he teaches them the wrong stuff or the partial truth and gets them in all kinds of deep trouble because now they think they've arrived when they haven't. Which is why the church is a better place for you to be than in a partial messianic place. Because then when you can come out of the falseness of the church and realize that where the wrongness is, you go into this other place you think you've arrived. Thinking you arrived is really not good unless you're actually in a right place. And that's up to you to find out, right? That's your job. Okay? So he goes, no, you can't gather them up because you may uproot the wheat as well. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at that time of the harvest, I'm going to say to the reapers, first gather the darnel and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in the granaries. At the end of the harvest, they look different. Now we can tell. Okay? And who's going to do it? The professionals. Those whose job it is to be the reapers, who's not necessarily the same people that did the sowing, okay? They're trained. They know what a darnel looks like and a wheat looks like. So he says, let them grow together. He says, first gather the darnel, then bind them in bundles and burn them. Oh, again, burn them. What happens to grain that's harvested and dry and thrown in fire? Burned up like that, okay? We're not talking like a big hunk of wood that's wet that takes forever to burn. We're talking about dried grains harvested, thrown in fire. Okay, we're not talking about torturing forever and ever and ever. This thing goes up instantly. Just like John 15 when it says, take them and throw them like kindling into the fire. Now, that is actually where I wanted to go. Good, we got to verse 30. All right, so hopefully we're starting to really piece this together. You're starting to get this, right? The depth that I'm trying to give you is that you make all the right connections about what good is. And so we have good ground, good seed, and eventually when you take all of this into account correctly, you're going to hopefully become a good servant, a trustworthy servant, but a good one. Okay, not just good at being a servant, but being good by the definition of having received the good seed in good ground. I'm going to say that that's why I put this together this way. To be a good and trustworthy servant, you first have to have good ground with good seed in it. Does that make sense? All right, let's go before the Father. Father, we come before you, and Father, we're very excited and filled with joy, not the kind that's going to get us in trouble. We are filled with joy and appreciation that you've opened our eyes and our ears and our minds and our hearts so that we can receive your revelation, your information, the good seed. And then, Father, we ask, please, whatever you need to do, till all the thorns and the rocks and everything out of our ground. Help us to truly have nothing to hinder the growth of your good seed. So, Father, we want to thank you, because ultimately, as we are going through this study, we want to become good and trustworthy servants. We want to hear you say, enter into the joy of your master, you good and trustworthy servant. So, Father, strengthen us and encourage us and continue to be patient with us as we go through this process. Help us to get some of those thorns out of our life that need to go. Till out the rocks out of our life that need to go. Also, get rid of some of the people that need to go. Maybe some of the teachers and teachings that need to go. So that, Father, we can truly hear directly from you. So, Father, we want to thank you and humbly come before you and praise you in the name above all names, Yeshua our Messiah. Amen. Amen. Amen.